Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to this video as we get back into our series about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the reason why we decided that that would be the caption for the series is because it helps to highlight what took place when Adam and Eve sinned. Everything shifted. The paradigm was no longer as God intended it to be. Now man was connected from his flesh to the world, or to the ideas of man, instead of his spirit being connected to God, where every provision was made. Of course, we see that Jesus came to redeem mankind, and when Jesus came, he showed what it was like to have a connection with the Father God in such a real and tangible way that you could get your prayers answered and be an amazing testimony to everyone around you. And that is the reason why we do these videos, to allow God to come off the pages of your Bible and get into your life so that you can begin to experience the tangibleness of God, the reality of his voice to your ears, the feeling and presence of God to your physical body, God living in your circumstances, actually maneuvering, manipulating, and influencing your life so that you have testimonies on a regular basis. Well, we don't want to start any of our videos without going to our favorite passage, and I know that you know that by now, Matthew 11, 27 to 30. And it says this, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, yet now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, and no one knows the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Well, let's jump back into some of these scriptures. It's going to take up all of our time, and I don't mind that we jump into these again because there's so much truth to them, and I want us to be willing. This is going to be a hard statement, but I want us to be willing to be wrong. Now, I'm not telling you, go ahead and be wrong. That would be foolish. But being willing to be wrong is the reason why the grace of God can show you what's right. You know, Titus 2, 11 and 12 shows us that grace wants to be our teacher. And the first thing that grace will do is it will begin to show you the inconsistencies of the flesh and the world and the law. It'll show you what's wrong in the earth so that you can unhook from it. And then it shows you where you can connect, which is to God, from your spirit, where you live out of your heart on a regular basis. Well, that's the invitation that Jesus was giving us, that we might come to him, get away with him, recover our life, walk with him, work with him, watch how he does it, keep company with him, and he won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon us. This is the rhythms, or these are the rhythms of grace, learning to experience God on a regular basis. So John in chapter 15, 18 to 25, it says, "If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you live on the world's terms, the world will love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you." And of course, he goes on to say, and when that happens, you'll understand that the servant is not above the master. If they persecuted Jesus, they'll persecute us. If they didn't like him, they won't like us. So this is a real interesting scenario, because right away, this says to us what? Well, if the world loves us, then maybe we look like the world. Maybe we act like the world. What Jesus is trying to say here is there is a difference between the world, which is darkness, and the Christian, which is light. And when you walk out of your spirit, the world will not understand you. You will say things like, "Well, I don't need that surgery because Jesus is my great physician." And they're going to say, "Well, then you're going to die." And even your family and friends will get, and they may even go to the same church. They'll say, "Yeah, you're going to die. You better use wisdom, the wisdom of the world. Would you know that Paul even said over in the Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man? That's why Isaiah said in the 55th chapter, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours and my thoughts beyond yours. God's not trying to make you feel like he's boasting. What he's trying to do is get you to stop trying to invent the wheel and begin to see things according to the spiritual realm or the spiritual world that God created for you to exist in the harmony and the blessing of walking with God. When people get a taste of God, oh, they want more. Come on, I see it all the time. In fact, right now while I'm talking, there's someone being healed in your heart, and there's someone being healed in your lungs, and there's someone who's got floaties in their eyes and they're disappearing, and there's someone else who's had ringing in the ear and it's leaving you. I'm telling you, the more you begin to hang out with God and taste of him and see, the more your heart will just long for more. So I'm asking you to be willing to be wrong. In other words, willing to assess yourself and say, am I too much like the world? Does the world actually have no problem with me? Not that we're trying to create problems. We walk in love. We walk in the God kind of knowledge. And we do things according to the way God through Christ has released us and set us free. But when you do, the world will question you. And if the world's not questioning you, then you have to ask yourself, do I do everything exactly like the world? Well, I like this in John 14, 30 and 31. Jesus said, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, but he has nothing on me. Do you know the ruler of the world has nothing on you? You are not of the world. You're living in this world, but you are far from the world. You are a child of God's light. He calls you light. And he calls the world darkness. Aren't you thankful that there's a distinction? And this is why we're talking about these scriptures. John 16, 33 in the Amplified, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Now that is a verse to shout about. But notice again what's taking place. Jesus is describing that those that are in the world will have all kinds of troubles, all kinds of chaos, all kinds of difficulty. We could add to it a modern word, which is drama. And if your life seems to typify drama and crisis from one to the next, trouble, trials, persecutions, and you never seem to have the peace that Jesus came to secure for you, then that means you're more connected to the world than your heart or your spirit is connected to God. When Jesus stood up at the great feast over in John chapter 7, and he began to shout out, you know, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, for this he spake of the Spirit who was not yet given. But we know Jesus said, I must go to my Father, because I will send to you the Spirit or the Comforter. Folks, I just thank God that there's something flowing out of your being. And the more connected you are to God out of your spirit, the more of the spiritual life you will begin to see, influencing all the things that you do and say and feel. And you'll begin to have testimonies. Testimonies that look like, you know, I had all kinds of symptoms coming on me, but I just spent a little bit of time recognizing that inside of me is the very life of God. And it was the most amazing thing because all of those symptoms just disappeared. Instead of, you know, coming home and being all bummed out because I didn't get the raise, I just came home and was thankful that other people got it. And I just began to worship God that he's more than enough. And when I got there Monday, I found out that I was overlooked and I actually had more than a raise. It was a double raise. I mean, come on, these are the things that happen when God is influencing you. You can't read the Bible without seeing that there's a testimony from one end to the other of individuals that connected with God and had experiences that look just like what we're talking about. Well, I come over, this is really great here, in the Message Bible, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's what we were talking about when Jesus said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And if the world, if you're like the world, then the world will love you. But if you're not like the world and you're like me, then the world will hate you. This is exactly what he was talking about. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Excuse me. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Come on, that's what we're talking about. You are a child of God. Come on, just like 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, now we know verse 17, therefore, any man that is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. But verse 16 tells us, we are not to judge one another. For we did once judge Christ according to the flesh, but thus no longer. In other words, once you're saved and you're connected to God, you can't look at yourself any longer according to the flesh. You can't make judgments about who you are and what you are to experience based on how you feel and what's going on around you. You must draw your conclusion from who you are on the inside. And I like what this says. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you and he develops well-formed maturity in you. These are really, really good thoughts. Are you getting something from this? I know this is tough because we're actually using these scriptures to look within and ask ourselves the bigger question, on what side of the aisle do we find ourselves? I've shared this before, but it's a really good place to share it again. And that is, what if we set up on the left was a train station and on the right was another train station? On the left, the train station is the train station of your flesh. On the right, the train station is the station of your spirit. Now, these are old-fashioned trains where you've got to put wood in them to build up combustion from the heat that's in that furnace so that you can have power to go down the track. Now, according to what train you're chucking wood into has to do with what train is moving the fastest and the furthest. So when we look through these, ask yourself the question, is the train of my spirit moving at all? And if it is, at what rate does it move? For most believers who don't think about these things, and this is why we're sharing these thoughts, they get 2 hours a week. Oh, I know, 30 seconds for a quick little prayer. Lord bless us. But 2 hours a week to go to a building at 10:30 in the morning, call to church, to attend that place of worship, and who knows whether or not the 2 hours that you're there, you're actually focused on what's being said. Because according to the world, all week long, the world is helping you to lose your focus. Just so you know that, the average American adult loses their focus every 6 to 8 seconds. And so if that's true, then you're in and out, in and out, in and out, even in a worship service. So how much are you getting? So what's the possibility your train just kind of chug, 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 just gets a little bit of wood every Sunday and doesn't really hardly go anywhere, but we're just chucking wood constantly into the train of our flesh and it's screaming down the track with the furnace red hot and we're literally miles away from the station. Come on, these are really good realities, even though we don't like this because it's tough on our flesh. This is what helps us to begin to go to God with a different perspective, which says, Lord, by your wonderful grace, bring me into an awareness of what I need to see so that the choices I make and the passion of my heart is the connection between you and me. You know, when Paul prayed for the Ephesians, he didn't have to pray that they would get power. There was already power within them. He needed to pray that they would have an understanding and that their mind would be open to actually what it is that they are experiencing and can potentially experience every day. So going a little further over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1:21, it says, since the world in all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God. So in other words, if you're just putting all of your focus and all of your eggs in the basket of building greater earthly wisdom according to the universities and according to the news media and according to all the books that you can read. And I do commend you for reading books and for endeavoring to learn knowledge in this age of knowledge. But if it's the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of men, then you'll find yourself lacking when it comes to the knowledge of God. The most amazing thing is the knowledge of God is the equalizer. Someone may have four earned PhDs and someone may be so smart that you feel so incomplete and inadequate. And yet the moment God begins to speak to you, there'll be things happening in your life that aren't happening in the guy that's very smart. Because he's going to work with the ability that's within his own soul. We get to actually experience the ability that's within God's soul. Hallelujah. And because Jesus lives within you, it gives you potential beyond your own ability. And I think that is just amazing. Well, I want to go on. 1 Corinthians 3:19, and I'm watching our time here, and we're almost out of time. It says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. I'm going to just skip a little bit, come down to Colossians 2, 8 and 11. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, meeting Jesus, who is the head of all principality. And again, we are admonished not to put all our eggs in the basket of earthly and worldly wisdom. Because when you do so, the more connected you are to that, the less you are connected to the wisdom of God. I like this over here in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, and I'm trying to watch my time tonight. It says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. In other words, the love of this present world will cause you to miss the very blessings of God. And the last one I'm going to give you is 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17 in the Message Bible. Listen closely. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Does that not help us to really understand what we've been saying? Adam connected us from our flesh to the world, and the law brought us right into destruction. Jesus came to fulfill the law and bring us back into a spiritual connection with the Father where we could begin to experience the influence of God, the anointing of God, walk out of the life and the light of God. Come on, all these words that I use are for you to realize that there is an amazing supply of God at your disposal to turn your life inside out and upside down and experience God on a regular basis, just like our passage in Matthew 11, 27 to 30, where Jesus invited us to come to him. Without coming to him, life is hard. You get worn out, you're tired, you're burned out on religion, and it's not light and easy, it's heavy and burdensome. But thank God through Jesus, he set us free. Listen real quickly, as this has gone a little longer tonight, it's 18 minutes right now. A wonderful grace story is from a friend of the ministry. He said, I wanted to share a grace story. We're living by a river and the beautiful Smoky Mountains are on the other side of the river. I go for walks just about every day along the river. And one day in particular, the sun was coming through the clouds with the beautiful mountains right behind after a rain. And the raindrops are falling down off the branches of the trees into the river with the sun on each raindrop. It was an unbelievable sight. And of course, the ducks are in the river too. Every day, it's beautiful just watching the river flow. And I want to share with you that that is a wonderful grace story because that beautiful soul was taking the time to acknowledge the beauty of what God had made in the earth and made a connection to it and therefore a connection to the Creator. I'm telling you, it's easy to see the grace of God. And if you'll start even with some of these very simple stories of grace, you'll find that the other simple stories will be that the tumor left and the eye can now see and the ear can now hear. And God blessed our family and the finances are beyond our wildest imagination. Come on, we're living in a place in these videos where Jesus comes off the pages of the Bible and gets into your life. Well, you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or go to the Adventures in Grace YouTube page and subscribe. By all means, make sure you go to jimhockaday.com, our website, where you can find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, so that you can send in your grace story. Until next time, this is Jim Hockaday saying, allow God to show you himself in every single thing you do. Blessings on you. We'll see you next time.